Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues right here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you. On this Wednesday, November the 8th, 2023. Thanks for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio today is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Hi, Tim.
And Steve Paisley Jordahl will be along next hour. And we got Abraham Hamilton III will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And we'll have a nice discussion with Abe about various and sundry issues. And I don't know, various and sundry. You ever use sundry other than when you say various, Ed?
Yeah. You know, we go to church on sundry. And then
you
we
can
go,
order
go to Granny's to eat.
All right, you go to Dairy Queen, you get a sundry.
Yes. Huh? So, but not in the way you're talking about, various and sundry. That's one of those expressions that just kind of is in the lexicon.
Yes.
But I have no idea where it came from or what it means. You have a general sense, but.
I think it means a lot of different.
Right.
Abraham Hamilton, or some different anyway, Abraham Hamilton III will be with us. Well, Election Day was yesterday, and it wasn't even a midterm. It was a midterm of a midterm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by that, it wasn't a presidential election.
Call it off year, don't they?
Yeah, it wasn't a congressional election. So you had just a handful of elections that were really caught the attention of the media, at least, and they included what happened yesterday, Fred.
Well, I suppose the one that got the most attention was the proposed amendment to the Ohio Constitution, which basically would give the pro-abortion side everything that they wanted in the way of free access to abortion, no restrictions whatsoever. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. If you were for no restrictions on abortion, you voted yes. If you were against that, if you're pro-life, you voted no. At the end of the evening last night, the pro-abortion side won, and it really wasn't even close. A lot of money was poured into the Planned Parenthood pro-abortion side in this debate.
And they have a lot of money. Hollywood money,
George
Soros-type money.
All kinds. It was very interesting. I was watching some of the victory speeches last night for the pro-abortion Planned Parenthood side, and they keep referring to, they rarely use the word abortion. They like to use the word reproductive health freedom.
Right.
That's one of the little camouflage phrases that they like to use. But in the analysis, one of the interesting things, and I noted this in looking at the crowd, a lot of young people, male and female, in the crowd. And this morning, somebody was telling me that of the youth, what they call the youth vote, 77% voted for yes. In other words, voted for the pro-abortion side. 77%.
Yeah.
And I think that's worth a discussion because, you know, we have the pro-life march that's in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Every January. And upwards 100,000, 200,000 young people show up. But in Ohio, it appears the youth vote really bought into the idea of unfettered access to abortion.
Yeah, I guess what was most, the idea that there shouldn't be any parental involvement
mm-hmm.
for minors, I guess, who want to seek abortion, that was a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did see a comment from the pro abortion, that's what we would call it, side, their leadership,
mm-hmm.
saying they would not challenge restrictions that included a parental involvement, mm-hmm. parental oversight, parental consent
mm-hmm.
in the abortion mm-hmm. question. Okay, but listen, we're going to get... It was disappointing if you're pro-life. There's no question about right. it. And because they had a heartbeat bill there. yes. in Ohio, mm-hmm. as there are in several other red states. Mm-hmm. So to see that overturned, but listen, the other side of this issue, they exploit tiny arguments and make them big things, and they scare people. Mm-hmm. And they got a lot of money to do it, and they synopsize an issue like abortion ed in a 30-second, 60-second ad where it makes it seems like that the Republicans, or at least the pro-lifers, are wanting to force you to carry through with a term. They want to force, go ahead.
Yeah, the language is very, very important in these short ads because there are a lot of people who are not, I'm not saying they're not deep thinkers, but they're not thinking deeply about these kinds of issues. So they are very much easier to influence with a short ad that, to your point, characterizes the Republican view on abortion as fill in the blank, something scary. They're coming for your uterus. They're taking away reproductive freedom. They want to force you to have a baby. Even if you conceive that baby, with a rape, how horrible is that? Now, to the young people, and I'm just trying to characterize what they're saying. For young people, especially, I don't want to overcharacterize because we have a lot of great young people here. Like Fred says, there's pro-life young people.
But perhaps a majority of Americans who are secular today. So go ahead.
And the majority of these young people, all they think about is, I want to do what I want to do. Okay? No one has the right to tell me I want access. Listen, I remember 15 years ago, young people saying, downloading music, using apps, or using a website that was downloading music illegally. And I would
ask. About the millions.
Yes, and I would ask you, well, that's stealing. Well, I want the music, and I'm not paying for it. You have that mindset, and someone comes along and tells you, these Republicans want to take away your right to decide whether you can have a baby or not. That message is going to play with
there's
young
a response
people.
To that, but there's no time to give it
right
in a 30-second, 60-second ad hardly.
If you sit down with someone to try to talk to them,
right.
A young person, but not just a young person. There's plenty of pro-abortion older people that are their views are set in concrete. But if someone says, well, it's reproductive freedom, I want to say, well, listen, how about parental freedom? When my wife and I had our first kid at 2 years old, does parental freedom mean I'm just tired of this baby? We want to get rid of it. I know she's only 2 years old, but hey, parental freedom. That's horrifying. Even for young people, they would say, no, that's horrifying. Well, it's the same thing. If you're going to phrase it as reproductive freedom, why don't you just admit what you're calling reproductive freedom ends the life of an unborn baby? Okay. But
yeah,
but the other side doesn't talk that way.
Right.
They're not, that's why they don't use a pro-abortion or abortion that often. They say reproductive freedom. That message sells.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's disappointing that happened in Ohio yesterday. But it did. And it's happened in a few other states, to Kansas and
surprising states,
Montana. Yeah, yeah. Red states, basically.
You know, in Virginia, abortion wasn't on the agenda, wasn't on the ballot, but it did play a role. The debate over abortion did play a role. Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin there was hoping, going into this, Democrats control the Senate there, Republicans control the House. Youngkin was hoping to gain control, the Republicans gain control of the Senate, so that would clear the way for his agenda. But the Democrats were successful in making abortion their paramount, abortion freedoms, as they call it, overlooking the problems with Joe Biden as president, economic, et cetera, et cetera. And so at the end of the night last night, Democrats maintained control of the Senate and took control of the House. And so, again, And the analysis is that the Democrats now have Ohio and they have Virginia. They are going to try to make in 24 abortion the big issue. Stay away from Joe Biden's failure as president.
Yeah.
Make abortion the issue.
Well, we'll see what happens there. I think it's going to fade some in the consciousness of the country, the abortion issue, since Roe versus Wade was overturned, the Dobbs decision. Yes, the Democrats, the pro-abortion side, have just beat Republicans over the head over this for the reasons Ed just laid out, in the ways and manners that Ed just weighed out, the various and sundry ways that to try to frame the issue, and it's worked to a certain extent. However, I would say if you step back from what happened yesterday, not a lot changed. I wouldn't say it was a big win for Democrats. I wouldn't say it was a big loss for Republicans. You might say on balance, maybe the Democrats did better than Republicans because of what happened in Virginia. But listen, in Kentucky, Cameron was a very good candidate for the Republican side, mm-hmm. but he was going up against a incumbent.
Yes.
People are forgetting that. Mm-hmm. Yes, Kentucky's a red state, but they had already voted this fella in governor one time, and evidently he did a good enough job to win mm-hmm. again in the eyes of the majority of Kentuckians because the Republicans won the other statewide elections. Mm-hmm. So it must have just, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's not some kind of shock to an incumbent won the governorship in cause, so that happened.
Yeah, Beshear did a good job when they had natural disasters, flooding, and that sort of thing. He was there showing compassion.
He has a family name.
He's a family name.
Okay, so that was not really unexpected. Cameron did as good as probably you could do. As I say, the Republicans won the rest of the statewide elections.
Mm-hmm.
So then in Mississippi, the Republican maintained the governorship.
Yeah, despite the fact that Democrats really targeted Mississippi this time.
Yes, they poured
spent millions, $6 million dollars.
Millions yeah. of dollars yeah. to help Presley, the Democrat candidate.
And Tate Reeves won re-election as governor of Mississippi, and he won 53-47 or 50, something like that. I mean,
here's what I would say, though, Tim. This is the second election cycle in a row, not election cycle. This was much.
Are you going to bring me down?
No,
because if you're going to bring me down, my fingers are going in my ears.
No,
and I la 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 la. La. I don't want to hear
not,
it.
I'm not going to bring you down.
Okay.
Bruce. I'm just saying. Remember, there was supposed to be a red wave in 22, and now there was supposed to be the hope for Virginia, both houses, to become Republican. You know, we got to stop. You know, the pro-abortion runaway train. So the expectations for Republicans have not been met in two straight elections, 22 and 23. So all I'm saying is there is something going on that Republicans have to figure out and fix before 24.
Okay, let me just say something about Virginia.
Okay.
You make some good points.
But in
Virginia, people forget Virginia was a blue state. Okay, Youngkin, the governor, and the other two statewide officials, the AG and the lieutenant governor Sears,
right?
They won a shocking upset 2 years ago. They're kind of like did what Beshear did in Kentucky, a Democrat winning in a Republican state. They were Republicans winning in a Democrat state. Virginia had turned pretty well solidly blue. So I'm just saying that's, to me, the fact, yes, the Republicans wanted to turn the House in Virginia, but the fact that they didn't is really shocking because it's been a blue state before 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So anyway... we'll move on here. Next up is the presidential election year 2 years from now.
There's one more.
No, 1 year from now.
Yeah. There's a House race in Virginia that drew our attention back about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And the
Republican State House.
Yeah. Yes. It was between Republican David Owen and his Democrat challenger, Susanna Gibson. Does anybody remember that name, Susanna Gibson?
I don't.
Okay. Nurse practitioner? she and her husband videotaping themselves.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In physical activity and garnering money.
Put it on the internet.
Putting it up on a porn site. Apparently, the Democrat Virginia is not that blue that allowed her to be elected. It looks like the Republican, Mr. Owen, is going to win there.
Right.
We all Although kinda, it's narrowly trailing as far as I can
yeah,
find.
It's not over yet. But
he least, promised not ever to do that. That was one of his campaign promises. I'm kidding. It was a bad joke, and I shouldn't have made it. But anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
But what was amazing, remember when this was revealed, she did not deny
right.
that she and her husband were doing this, but she called out the Republicans saying they were playing dirty politics. That's
yes.
That's what
because they publicized.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to say exposed,
yes.
but yeah. that would have been a bad pun.
I wasn't trying to be punny, but it's just one of those things where you go, I can't say that.
No.
I can't say that.
There's various and sundry things you can't say.
In a story like this.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
While all of this was going on and we were watching the results come in from various places.
Meanwhile,
last night, in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. there was a censure vote for Democrat, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas member from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib.
Mm-hmm.
And the House did vote to censure her. Because they believe she's extremely anti-Semitic. And
Democrats joined in.
22 Democrats mm-hmm. joined the Republicans to censure her. One of the statements she has made, she supports this statement from the river to the sea. Now, she tried to explain that away, but most people know that phrase means, I want Israel wiped off the face of the earth.
That's like saying, Hail Hitler.
Yes.
Right.
Hail Hitler. I mean, when you say from the river to the sea, for those who don't know what that means is wipe Israel off the map from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. Get
yes.
rid of it.
Yes.
Totally. And she was at a rally where this was the major chant. I think that's what they say. Let me ask you this, though. Does anybody know here what when you're officially censured in the House of Representatives, is that just like just a public shaming?
That's all it is.
Or does it come with any kind of other penalties? Are you removed from committees?
No, it doesn't. But it does go into your permanent record and can keep you out of a good college.
We all heard that from our parents,
yes,
didn't we?
That's right.
Back in the day. That's going on your permanent record.
Your permanent record.
All it did was mow somebody's grass two strips over
yeah.
into their yard, and you're telling me that's going on my permanent record?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Supposedly, in a censure, I'm told the tradition is the person being censured goes down and stands in the well. And
they are
supposed to read this.
Okay.
However, that stipulation has to be in the censure. And my understanding, they left that out.
So they don't do that anymore.
So that she didn't have to go to the well. And I didn't
Once
realize
too
that
often.
They did that to Adam Schiff back a couple of years ago. And all the Democrats went down and kind of gathered around him and cheered
Group
him on.
Group hug.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they don't do it. Maybe they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it just becomes an opportunity for a photo op or a display of.
But, you know, the story is that she was officially censured
mm-hmm.
for her support of Hamas.
And with their actions.
And her anti-Semitism.
Yeah, she has refused to condemn what Hamas terrorists did to 1,400 right. Israeli men, women, and children. She has just refused. But, you know, it's really interesting. Fox News commentator Joe Conscious says she is still wildly popular in her own district back there in Michigan, and this censure is not going to hurt
her. Oh, no, no.
Cut number four.
Here's the problem, though. You could censure Rashida Tlaib, but in the 2022 elections, when she ran for re-election, she won by nearly 50 points in her district. She isn't going anywhere if she doesn't have to. She could be like Maxine Waters, and we're talking about her 40 years from now. The only way Rashida Tlaib is ousted from Congress would have to come from within, a primary challenge, somebody more moderate. Does that happen? Time will tell.
No, in fact, there in Michigan, there are over 300,000 Arabs who live in that area. She is Palestinian, and they're applauding her for the stand that she has taken.
Well, they believe the same way.
Yes.
Now, by the way, I do want to make note of our listeners probably understand this. All Arabs are not Muslim.
No,
there are a lot of Muslim Arab Christians,
yes,
in the Middle East. So well, a small percentage.
Me. You said Muslim as in Arab Christians, didn't you? You meant to say Arab Christians.
I did. I said, yes, there are a lot of Arab
that are Christians that aren't, yes, Muslims, although the majority are Muslims.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I just want to make that point clear to our, yep, listeners. Just, mm-hmm, because people are Arab doesn't mean they're Muslim. So I don't know what the breakdown is. I'm sure it's pretty small. There may be Arab Christians in her district, but it's the Muslims who put her in Congress.
Yeah.
The Arab Muslims, and will probably keep her there because they also believe, I'm guessing the vast majority, Israel should be eliminated.
She reflects their views.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very interesting, speaking of Arabs, in a suburb of Minneapolis last night, a 26-year-old Somali woman became the mayor of that city. I think it's, is it St. Louis or something like that? But first time, just a young Somali woman was elected a mayor of a city. They have a large 200,000 Somalis in the Minneapolis area.
Yes, yeah, Obama did that, yep. I think.
That's where Ilhan Omar, she hangs out there. If we have time before we go to the break, just want to mention the third GOP debate tonight.
Tonight.
In Miami. This one is going to be hosted, moderator-wise, by NBC. Lester Holt will be there. Hugh Hewitt, though, is going to be also giving questions.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I like Lester Holt. When I watch it, I don't watch NBC News much, but mm-hmm. I like his personality, but
and he seems a little that he's more like the traditional television journalist.
Yes, he doesn't have an axe to grind. He hides it pretty well.
Right. What they used to do. They used to all hide what they really believed.
Hugh Hewitt's also going to be asking questions.
Asking questions as well.
Salem Radio, I think.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Is this televised?
Yes.
Okay, who's carrying it?
I would assume
NBC.
NBC.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I think I got ABC right there.
Yeah.
My ABC News theme. I don't know what NBC News.
I'll make a prediction. NBC. I think you're going to see quite a spat between Governor DeSantis and Nikki Haley. Those two are tied now for second place amongst Republicans, and they're going to be trying to knock one another off.
Yeah. Of course, former President Trump is not going to be there.
That is correct. He's busy.
He said, he's about 30 minutes away,
mm-hmm.
his home, maybe an hour. I'm talking about he lives down there.
Yeah, is he still in court?
He's living in court?
No, I know what What I mean is he still in New York?
He's about to feel like he's living in court for the next 6 months. He is going to be living in court.
Yeah.
Courtrooms all across. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm just laughing because that say it like that's funny.
Yeah.
What'd you say now?
Well,
I'm saying that West Palm Beach is where Mar-a-Lago is.
I was wondering if he is still in New York with his trial.
Oh, yes, I think so, probably.
Because his daughter is testifying today.
Yeah. He does have Trump Tower and Bedminster in New Hampshire, the golf club. He can live there. And I'm just saying Mar-a-Lago is right down the road.
Right.
Right down the beach from Miami, where they're going to be having the debate tonight. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
If you're like most of us, you're paying way too much for healthcare. That's why I want to tell you about a ministry that has been meeting the healthcare needs of hundreds and thousands of Christians, and that's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is cost-sharing made easy. For over 40 years, this unique model has allowed believers to choose their own doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they are not insurance, but a faith-based alternative to insurance. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. It all starts with a visit to chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR. Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving health share ministry serving all 50 states. Share the good news with a friend, too. chministries.com/AFR. Make the switch today with anytime enrollment. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception and, at just 3 weeks, is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, again, as long as it's positive and encouraging, it's K-Love email. Send it to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Tim, Ed, and Fred, and we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Joining us in the studio now is Abraham Hamilton III. How you doing, Abe?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. How's the family?
Everybody's growing. My grocery bill is in.
Yes.
It's suffering Bidenflation.
So how many little Hamiltons run around the?
Six. I have a six-pack.
And they range from what ages?
12, soon to be 13, all the way down to 2.
Oh.
Well, it's time to go for God's
What are you talking about here? Hey. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Two years old.
You said 12 to 2?
12, that's right. 13.
Soon to be 13.
Abe.
Yeah.
I don't know
how to. Stretch your hands this way.
I just want to tell you this. You probably already know it. So you got the next decade of your life.
It's going to look like the previous decade.
I want you to come back. Let's take a picture now, and then let's look at the hair. Let's look at the hair color in 10 years.
Tim, you don't want to do that. I'm like fine wine, Tim. I age well.
Why are you saying the next decade? The youngest is 2 years old.
Did you hear him say the oldest?
Yeah, but at least 16 more years.
Yeah.
And then college,
I was trying
two
to
decades.
Be, I was just saying the next 10 years, but you're saying
the next 10 years, I'll be right back where I am right now.
16 or 18.
With a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying you got a lot of times of sitting in the passenger side while your kid learns how to drive. Yes. And then your other kid learns, and then your other kid learns, then your other kid learns.
And I already know it's going to be me.
And then the insurance company calls and says, Mr. Hamilton, you're going to get $2,000 a month for your driver's insurance for all your kids here.
That would be good for the president of AFA to take into consideration.
Right, as we look at futuristic salaries.
Yeah, glad you brought it up there, boss.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, wow. So, anyway, God bless you, brother. We need more conservative Christian families.
That's right.
I love to see them because we're going to outnumber them. We're going to outnumber the pagans.
And who can read and write Latin.
Yeah.
He teaches his kids. Yeah. He and his wife teach his kids Latin.
Yeah. Amen.
These are going to be smart kids, too.
Latin. What other language? Your wife's?
Spanish.
She grew up speaking Spanish, true?
Yep.
So are they fluent at all in Spanish?
They can understand words. They're not fluent. I wouldn't say they're fluent.
Okay.
But I have all of my Spanish-speaking in-laws coming in town for Thanksgiving. It's going to be all Spanish.
How much do you know?
I can survive.
You know when they're talking about
it. Yeah, I can understand the conversation. So all of my in-laws speak English as well. So I can understand all of the Spanish conversations, and I just opine in English, and then we just continue on.
So they speak Spanish in front of you?
Puerto Rican, right?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. What did you say?
No, they speak Spanish in front of you?
Yeah, the whole time it's all Spanish.
And it's not the kind of Spanish that I took in high school and college. Oh, no. This is rifle Spanish, right?
Oh,
this is,
boy. I always tell the story. It's hilarious. The first time I met, but I was spending time with my mother-in-law and my wife, and they were talking. I thought they were about to have a fist fight. I did. I mean, the hands were swinging, and I was like, and I pulled my wife down. I said, baby, everything okay? She's like, yeah, we okay. We just talking about the magazine. We just read. I was like, what is going on here?
But they're very animated.
That was my introduction because Puerto Rican Spanish is a whole another ball game, folks.
Well, you grew up, your home, they spoke, was your dad or your mom?
No, my dad was like third generation Italian. My grandparents could speak Italian, but they never did. My mom came to this country with her family when she was 12 from Greece. So going over to my grandmother, my Greek grandmother's, it was all Greek or broken English. My mom could speak could speak English very well.
So did you catch on to any of this?
No. Or? My mom wanted to send my sisters and I to Greek school after school to learn Greek.
Right.
I always joke about this. And, of course, three kids, we were lazy as all get out. I mean, we begged my dad. But we got homework. We don't want to learn anything else. So my dad said, all right, no Greek school. Well, forward whatever number of decades, I become a Christian, feel called into the ministry. What do I have to take in Bible college?
Koine Greek.
And I just tell my mom, I wish I had taken Greek.
That's one of those God has a sense of humor moments, wasn't it?
Although my mom would tell me, because the Greek you learn in like Bible college or seminary, nobody technically knows how it's pronounced. Because it's 2,000 years old. It's, you know, ancient Greek. So I was being taught how to pronounce Greek words, and my mom would tell me when I'd come home, you know, your professor's pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah.
And I would say, well, you speak modern Greek.
Right.
This is, anyway.
Anyway.
Sure, our listeners aren't.
No, it's okay. Bored. Point is, a lot of people in America now today grow up, and Spanish is becoming very popular. You know, in any phone service you call for any company, say press me no, press one. So I'm guessing you're going to have to become more fluent.
He already understands it.
Not him.
Oh, okay.
Just Americans in general. Well, I guess it'll happen by osmosis.
Yeah.
Really, and a lot of people understand. No,
I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. I'm saying I don't like it.
Oh, resisting learning something.
I will say this one thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I probably have told the story on the air. This is a little bit embarrassing. If you are Spanish, Hispanic background, please don't take offense at this. But I have the tendency to unknowingly, unconsciously, subconsciously, mimic accents when I'm around someone And so my wife and I and my two kids, before they got married, we were at a Mexican restaurant in my town here. And the waiter came and I wanted another basket of chips. I said, "Hey, could we please have some more cheeps?" And he said, "Yeah, see, I'll come up right back." And my wife and my two kids were like horrified. I said, "What? What'd I do now?" She said, "You said cheeps." I said, "No, I didn't." They said, "Yes, you did. You said we don't need another basket of cheeps."
You said like the little Frito-Lay, little Frito-Lay man.
Yeah, basket of cheeps.
Oh my!
I didn't even know why I'd done it.
JJ Jasper says when he went to I think Central America on a mission trip for the boxes, the shoe boxes.
Yeah, shoe boxes. Yeah.
Samaritan Purse, Operation Christmas Child. He went down there with his daughter, one of his daughters, and he's told this on the radio before, but he says he doesn't know much Spanish, but when he wants to talk to the children, in Spanish, and he says, or was it he talking English? He said his daughter says he thinks he can communicate better, or he's speaking their language when he yells. So only thing he needs to do better is to raise the volume of whatever it is he's saying, and that will be a better instead of actually talking their language that they can understand.
Right.
I don't know. He can tell the story better than I can. But all right, so some stuff to talk about here in the news that we need to discuss. All right, what we're about to talk about now is not making the headlines yet. So it's a secondary news story, if that. But we need to watch this, and we need to pay attention to this. And we're going to be, we here at AFA and AFR, we're going to be keeping you abreast of what you can do about it. But falls under the category of the left wingers in this country want to take over the internet. Okay, they do. They want to take over the internet, so that they can control everything, and they want to do it in the name of whatever their environment or whatever. So that being said, Abe, what specifically are you talking about here?
Well, the Biden administration, so most people may not be aware that when you have a new presidential administration, they have the opportunity to appoint a new FCC chair. They're usually, they're five FCC commissioners. They're five total.
Five, okay.
The president gets to appoint one, which usually tips the balance politically in the favor of the sitting president. So there's a 3-5 Democrat majority currently on the FCC, and the Biden administration has offered a proposal to basically cede all authority concerning the internet and communications on the internet service providers to be governed under the ambit of the federal diversity, equity, and inclusion umbrella, which for the first time in the history of the internet, which would cause a part of the administrative state and the federal government to control all things internet. This is horribly bad. Horribly bad.
It hasn't happened yet.
The vote is next week, Tuesday.
Among the
commissioners, yes.
Okay, well then, we don't know which way this is going to go, right?
Well, I mean, if you take the makeup of the commission, it's 3-2. It's most likely going to be a 3-2 vote.
They can grab that much power without congressional
authority? And that's
authority?
The question. And even worse than that.
We don't know the answer to that yet.
Okay.
Well, we do know the answer. We just need somebody to enforce that answer.
We do know the answer to that. We just need somebody to enforce that.
Because the mechanism that's being employed is to take a page out of the 2021, what's it called, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which Congress refused to pass. So Congress said, "We're not passing this." And so the Biden administration said, we're going to try to implement this aspect of it anyway and just get the FCC to do it, to adopt this measure and impose it on all internet service providers in the entire country, which means the government, through the administrative state, will say, well, who gets to have internet service, where the structures are established, what type of traffic is employed, the full bank and scopes within the ambit of saying that we want to make sure there's equity across the board in the country in terms of internet access.
Yeah, that's the key point here, and how the left defines equity.
Exactly.
Because we Americans are already used to public service commissioners, they govern, for example, who gets where electricity goes or phone lines go, things of that nature, pricing even. So we're familiar with that. But when you talk about communications, this would be akin to, we have to get our licenses through the FCC.
That's right.
That is American Family. Every radio station in America has to get its license through the Federal Communications Commission. So you have requirements you have to meet, but they're not ideological. All right. They've never been ideological. It's based on a certain criteria that everybody, doesn't matter whether you're left, right, liberal, conservative, Christian, non-Christian, public, for whatever. So this, however, is the idea here is to let the FCC govern, if that's the word you want to use.
And even micromanage.
The internet based on ideology as part of their reasons for. Now, how do you know how practically this would work if they were able to do this?
Give us an example. For example, internet hardware, like where's going to be fiber cables, things of that nature. In the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion, we want to make sure that this area of town, that just may be a blue city, has all of this fiber, and this area, which may be a red area, gets less fiber because of equity. You see, we have underserved populations; they need more internet connectivity, they need more communications capacities. Every aspect of that internet service delivery would be governed then micromanaged by the FCC. Right. Now, this is glaringly unconstitutional. So I expect it could be
overturned in court even if it's passed. But I would say we'll keep people abreast of this. But in the overall picture, the left wingers are always trying. You know, they accuse the right wing of wanting to control people's bodies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, that's what they'll say with abortion. But the left wingers.
To control your minds.
They want to control your minds
and your right.
And your behavior
and your wallet and
where you go and what you do, and here's what they do. They use fear. They use fear of, if you don't do this with the environment, you're going to burn the planet up. Thus, we are telling you, you can or can't do this.
Right.
You can't do this. And so, or you can't build here. You can't do that. They would love nothing more. Well, if they could, they would deny Christian radio stations licenses.
I believe the left would do that.
If they could get away with it, they would. They would. Look in Canada. Look at Canada as a model.
CRTC is the FCC of Canada, CRTC.
Okay. Now, I don't think they necessarily deny Christian radio stations licenses. Fred, you can correct me here. But they tell that radio station what they can and can't allow as far as
content.
Yes. Right. Yes. If you violate, they'll take your license.
Yes.
Yes. And that's what these lefties in our country would like to impose, or worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because the definition, for instance, of hate speech is being expanded. Mm-hmm. And this goes back many years in Canada, like when Jerry Falwell had his old-time gospel hour. They had to do a special program for Canada because they couldn't talk about homosexuality.
Yeah. Right.
In a negative term.
Right. That far back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I remember in the 90s, I guess it would have been the 90s, when Focused on the Family.
Yes.
Dr. James Dobson, his very popular radio program. Well, if they went into they had Canadian radio stations that played the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them, I don't know if it was Dr. Dobson himself, but one of his, folks who worked for him that I knew would tell me that, well, we can't, Canada, you get into homosexual behavior talk on the radio, you can't, you got to censor that out, or you can't, they won't allow for that, or they'll take your show off the radio.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they were doing that being back then.
Yes.
This FCC proposal is the panacea of Bernie Sanders' dreams.
Yes.
That's what this is. This is controlling the modern mechanism of communication. I mean, and it would be fully subsumed by not just the government, but specifically the administrative state, which endures beyond administrations.
This story we've been looking at from the Washington Examiner, this is If passed, the FCC would be empowered for the first time to regulate every ISP's, Internet Service Provider's, service termination terms, use of customer credit, account history, credit checks, and account termination, among many other items.
Yes.
It's complete control.
And I would say this, in defense of the FCC doing this, okay, the government would never expand its reach beyond this. So they would stop here. Yeah. That's the good thing. They would stop here, and they wouldn't try to gobble up
King
anymore.
King of sarcasm.
Yeah. Wouldn't try to gobble up any more of our free.
Isn't it time for you to go to Greek school?
Right. I know. What you're saying is once the government takes over something, they don't relinquish it.
No, and then they just expand it.
They expand it, and the regulations get worse.
And this is just another example. I mean, you want to talk about a lawless administration. I mean, this is just another one. You can't impose a rent moratorium on people because of COVID. Watch me.
Yeah.
You can't force private employers to inject their employees with the poison. Watch me.
You can't unilaterally eliminate student loan debt.
Watch me.
Yeah.
And there have been lawyers in the Biden administration to tell him every time, we cannot do this.
Mm. Yeah.
Do it anyway.
Yeah.
This is a measure Congress expressly rejected.
And the fact that this administration has weaponized departments within its the administrative state, to me, indicates that they would weaponize the FCC.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Hey, the story we're talking about with the FCC, Brent put it on our Facebook page, so you can read exactly what we're talking about. It's a very serious matter. We're going to keep you posted. I don't know what the action point is right now. We're trying to meet and figure out this.
Yeah. I mean, it would be helpful for the commissioners to know that, one, the public is aware of this and would communicate our disapproval of it. But also, it would be helpful to have a recorded quantity of opposition expressed by the citizens, because there will be litigation, and we can point to that. It can be pointed to in the litigation that the American citizens warned.
All right. Maybe we can. Anyway, the story is at our Facebook page. Today's Issues Facebook page, we posted the story. What's a headline read, Brent? Can you tell me on our Facebook page so people can know what it is? Because people need to send this far and wide. And
it's the Washington Examiner, and it's the FCC commissioner calls Biden equity plan for the internet.
Okay, today's Issues Facebook page, we posted that. So, and maybe we can come back tomorrow and point you to an action alert that we're going to draft this afternoon. So you have five commissioners on the FCC. They also issue licenses for television stations, television and radio, and now they want to get into the internet.
Yes.
So we'll keep you posted on that.
And it's moving us to be like European nations. There's a reason why Silicon Valley, innovation and things have happened here, because in other countries you cannot do what you can do here. Well, this is a move that would make us move us toward being like other nations around the world that has capacity, really.
But see, these lefties, man, they can't help themselves, because wherever they can grab power.
Oh, man.
Because their mission in the world is to impose their left-wing ideology on everybody and make you bow the knee in terms of your behavior. And if you don't, you get punished.
Because their core belief is that they're experts, not all experts.
Yes.
They're experts.
Just what you're about to say, defines progressivism.
Yes.
Right? Go ahead.
They believe, we all heard during COVID and subsequently, follow the science, follow the science. The experts know the truth. The voters do not. That's why the administrative state should be making all these decisions, because voters are ignorant. Parents, you're ignorant. We'll let the teachers decide what to teach your kids. We'll let the librarians decide what books they should read, because you folks don't know anything, parents. That is one of the core beliefs of the progressives, and that's why they view the administrative state as the way forward. Forget the principles of our founding. They are enemies of the Constitution. They won't say it, but the Constitution limits government power and separates it, breaks it up. That's not the way you get to a utopia in their mind. You aggregate power, and that means the Constitution and its checks and balances are an impediment.
Yeah, also the Constitution finds the idea of the U.S. Constitution and the principles and the founders who wrote about this found abhorrent the idea of centralized government.
Right. Yes.
National centralized government controlling everything. Yes. That's why we have three branches of government.
And yes. The Bill of Rights.
And the Bill of Rights. And you have basically things were supposed to be left primarily to the states to govern because there's more accountability to the lower you go. So that these people would like to take the apparatus of the United States federal government, these secular progressives, and use it to control everything in America, control our everything about our they would like to control the economy, everything. So it's always a constant battle now. There's one battle after another one against these people who want to take control over everything. I mean, that's why they want socialized medicine. They want nationalized medicine. They want their idea is that the experts know better and the federal government should take over.
Right.
Should take over medicine like we have in Europe, right? Western Europe in particular, socialized medicine. So, all right. So we are just about out of time. What's on the Hamilton Corner this afternoon?
I'm going to dig into this a bit more with this this FCC proposed regulations and talk a bit more about the warnings and hopefully curry some support for the action alert that's coming.
Yeah, we need to get on. I just read about that last night. I don't know why I missed that story. I hadn't heard anything about it. Well, the FCC, they don't make news every day. But this warning actually comes from a sitting commissioner.
Commissioner, Brendan Carr.
Yeah, he's one of the commissioners. He's one of the five. Yeah. Now, I know last year we were able to beat back that
GP
effort.
Stone.
Yeah. Biden wanted to appoint this basically communist to be the FCC chairman, right?
Yes.
And we were able to, we along with other groups and some great efforts in the Senate were able to by some senators were able to defeat that, even though the Democrats had a majority of the Senate, a narrow majority, but still a majority. But we were able to win on that one and keep her from being chairman of the Federal Communications Commission. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you.
Hey, grab yourself a free basket of cheeps on the way out.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
So, we will be back in 5 minutes with Steve Paisley Jordahl. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.